Blog Talk Radio. This meeting is being recorded.
And good morning and welcome to our awesome show this morning, Ursula.
Good morning. Whatever you're doing, stop. If you are trying to multitask, stop. Because today, this show is going to be off the chain because we have faith. And you'll find out what that means in a minute. This is the International Mastermind Think and Grow Rich Live on Saturday mornings. And we're so happy that you're here. We have a show this morning that is governed by the sixth sense of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I'm going to introduce myself and co-host this morning and our guests. But, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that because those of you that are joining us as regulars, you know who we are. And those of you that are new, you will find out as we go through. But joining me this morning, and I am Ursula Odom, the CEO of Sula 2, and we have some awesome co-hosts, Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, and Mr. Peter A. James, Dr. James, that is. And we have Mr. Galen Bingham. And he will bake you into success, and he'll let you know what that is. But today, we are going through the chapter called The Sixth Sense. And how better to start that with than with a person whose name is Lefford Fate. And that's why I said it is fate that you are here today. It is fate that you are positioned to learn and to grow and to share, because you have an opportunity to share with us as well. Join us in the chat. Join us on Facebook. We are broadcasting live on various platforms, including Blog Talk, Facebook, and Zoom. So let's get started. Today, our guest is Mr. Lefford Fate. And one of the things that I love about his bio, as I'm going to read it to you, is that as you listen to it, realize that there are a number of things that you may be able to relate to. That's why I got excited about the show today, because when I read it, it was all over the place. So no matter where you're coming from, no matter what space you're occupying right now, this moment, there's probably some nugget that he will be able to address and be able to bring forth from us, because we're interested in talking about what he has done, what he's doing, and how he relates to what we're talking about today. So Mr. Lefford Fate is the founder and president of It's Your Fate Coaching Company. Fate is certified to facilitate, speak, train, and coach individuals and groups in the areas of leadership development, professional skills, and personal growth with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Professionally, he has mentored and served thousands of people. A great leader once said, "The two greatest days in a person's life are the day he or she was born and the day he or she discovers why they were born." He believes there is a why for everyone, that each of us was created with the potential to achieve greatness, to make a difference in the world, and to add value to others, and as a result, experience a full and rewarding life. For over 30 years, Lefford His purpose was to defend our nation, and now that purpose is helping people discover their life's purpose, grow to their full potential. In this endeavor, he has written 4 books and co-authored Success Starts Today, Canfield. Fate also gave a TED Talk on correction. Why am I in prison? That garnered over 550,000 views. Now, what I just read was in the newspaper world above the line. So, above the fold. Below the fold is where the detail is. And these are the things that you might be able to connect with. You're talking about being active duty in the U.S. Air Force. He was a master sergeant for the 20th Fighter Wing. Training. He was responsible for training over 8,500 military personnel and the morale and welfare of over 31,000 families. He has something in here about mental health program, director of health services. He's from Sumter, South Carolina, and that's important for me for another reason. And as mentioned, the Department of Corrections. He has a degree in human relations and a bachelor's degree in social psychology. Native of Georgia, he's married and have 4 wonderful children and grandchildren. So tell me if there's not something in there that you can relate to. Get ready to ask your questions. Good morning, Mr. Fate. Now, before you start, I have to say what's on my mind. I can just hear your family go. It's Fate. With a name like Fate, you have to be good. You know, it is, you have to be great if with a name like Fate, all right? So I.
Go ahead, rap, sister, rap.
So I tell you, when they said who you were, I said, I'm in. Because your experience just on paper is absolutely wonderful. So we got to hear it from you. Would you please join the conversation and tell it from your point of view?
Well, good morning and thank you. What it didn't say is that I'm a believer and that the best thing I've ever done in my life was to be a husband, father, and a grandfather. All of that other stuff, that's cool, but I would not be who I am and what I'm doing without my family and my friends and what I get to do. I did an article just recently because I'm a diehard mama's boy. I'll go ahead and put that out there later. Y'all can talk about me if you like. But everything I am and all that I have, I owe to that angel who was my mother. And so she is the reason I do a lot of things. So I'm just excited to be here with such wonderful people. This is awesome for me.
And we're excited about having you. So tell us about your journey and why does Think and Grow Rich mean so much to you to the point where you're certified? How did that happen?
Well, that's later in the story. But the reason I fell in love with Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich was back in 1986, it was just like that old book, it was the best of times. It was because my first son was born, Calvin Fate, the fruit of my loins, my boy. He was born. The sad part about that is 2 weeks prior to him being born, my favorite lady died, my mom. I was 21 years old, and I didn't know what I was doing. I got to be honest. I was struggling, but I was also trying to be happy. I was happy and I was trying to struggle. And I had great friends in my life, right, that were saying, Lefford, you know, when God takes something away, you get something. You get a child and it's there to be loved and the love and all that good stuff. And so I would try to be happy about that. And then other people would be like, man, I thought you said you was a mama's boy. That's your girl. And you acting like you happy. So I was torn. I was just torn, and I started to get in trouble. I had recently made Staff Sergeant E5 my first time. So, again, everything was going this way, and then the bottom fell out. And then I started doing silly things. I was angry, and I was always, I had a chip on my shoulder hoping somebody would knock it off, right? And I was at the point where I was almost going to get kicked out of the Air Force. And I had a guy bring me in, a guy named John Gunther, and he didn't do it nicely. But he read me the Riot Act. He told me that I was doing stupid things, and he wasn't going to allow it on his watch. But if I didn't want to get right, he had a application to McDonald's. He said, you could take this, leave the gate, and go do something else, or you can get your stuff together. Mm-hmm. Since he was a cop, he didn't say stuff. We'll just leave it right there. And what happened was I started to pay attention to Sergeant Gunther. Sergeant Gunther was one of those kind of guys that had his stuff together, always had a smile on his face, always was helping people. He was always reading. He was always studying. And as I started to watch him, I started to want what he had. And again, I watched what he read. I watched what he said. I watched what he did. And he had two books on his desk at all times. I used to work out in the missile field of North Dakota. And when he would come out and do post checks, he'd have Think You Grow Rich, and he'd have the Bible. And I figured that if I was going to get what he got, I needed to be reading what he was reading. And so I grew up in the church, so I knew of the Bible, but I started becoming familiar with it and learning about it. And I started reading this book called Think and Grow Rich. And it wasn't overnight. It didn't go fast, but it started changing my life. I like to say that, you know, you can't, you know, you're not going to change your life overnight, but you can change the direction. And so that's kind of how I got into reading and studying Think and Grow Rich and was introduced to Napoleon Hill.
So we are in the chapter called The Sixth Sense. And for those of you that are new, and for all of us, it's good for us to hear it over and over and over again. But it's the 13 steps to riches, the final step. We know it as the sixth sense, through which the infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort or demands by the individual. So it'll happen. Now, are you going to be tapped into it or not? And we're going to find out exactly how it fits in all of this and then come back to you and find out how it fits for you.
All right. Let's go.
All right, so I'll go ahead and share.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the wild, wild west days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spend some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demand by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Thank you. And McNeil, the Master Builder, and Ms. Laverne Blackburn for making that happen. So, Mr. Fate, what has this chapter meant for you? Or what does it mean for you?
Well, first off, that is an amazing overview. I actually put it in there. And I've seen it, I've heard it, I read it, but the way you put it together, that visual, because all of us, most of us are visual learners to an extent, right? And so that was powerful to do. So what does it mean to me? So many things. If you think about when Napoleon Hill says the apex, the master, the top, and it's the door between, you know, the finite mind of man and infinite, well, from us to God. When you read that, you got to stop and like, wait a minute, that's a sign. It's a clue. And let me go back. I remember when I first read this, I didn't get it by any stretch of the imagination. I didn't get it. And then after I was reading and reading and reading, I started saying, that keeps pointing me to, if I can figure this out, then my life will change. And it's just, it's actually saved a lot, this process, this hunch, because my understanding of it is a hunch. It's that knowing. It's not something that you can just say, I'm going to figure it out. It is just there. And if we're open to receive, we can receive it and do something with it. You may be asking, what do you mean it was, it saved lives? I worked for the South Carolina Department of Corrections and I ran healthcare there. We're at a place called Broad River, which is the maximum security prison where we have death row. I was actually on the yard one day, and I literally felt something in my spirit. I don't know what it is. You might want to call it your spidey senses. You might want to call it your knowing. But something was off, and I did not feel right. And so I broke camp. I'm a brave dude, but I also got some sense. And I went back and talked to the director, and I said, something's not quite right. And they were like, well, you know, just oversensitive, all that other stuff. 3 weeks later, on that same yard, the inmates caught one of our associate wardens out there and very nearly beat him to death. There was something going on, and I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it's just not right. It's not fear. It's a knowing of something not being right. And it was just one of those things. So it is so powerful when you're open to receive it. And I do think it's most important that we are open. I think all of us have this sixth sense. But I think sometimes, especially guys, will kind of push it off and want to think about the stuff that they can hold in their hand or they can write or they can study. And I think women, ladies have it to a better degree. I think we all have it, but I think you guys utilize it a lot better than we do.
It's interesting, and the way that you said that, and it reminded me of the whole information about when you learn something, over time it becomes instinctive. And the example that comes to mind is when you step off a curve and you see a car coming. You don't stop and say, okay, pick up your left foot, then your right foot, then step back. Because a car is coming. If you go through that whole process in your head, even just enough to think about it, you're dead. So at that moment, your physical body pulls together everything it's ever learned to protect you and get you to step back on that curve so that you don't get killed. So I, based on what you said and based on what I've read and believe, that we have that with the sixth sense, but we do not acknowledge that it exists. That sixth sense comes into play in an invisible way that deals with the things that we don't understand, that we can't see, we can't prove by feeling it, because it has to do with a realm that we're not able to point to. It's the sixth sense, and it happens whether we want it to or not, but are we open to it? And it appears from what you said is that you were open to it. You were ready. Your senses were there to receive what was happening around you. Because you had seen it over the years. It had gone in, and then, who knows, your guardian angel.
Yes, ma'am. And well, it's a concept. You know, when you study, I think that there are bits of information that goes into your subconscious that as you study it, it goes there and it's aligned within you, right? That's why I said, you know, understanding comes by study. Repetition is the mother of learning. And I think you're not, I don't know if you're learning it or if you're remembering it. Because I think all of us internally has this thing. I think we're born with a level of knowing, of understanding, and then our educational system, our social heredity starts building other things around us. Our teachers and our preachers and our family and friends will say, don't, you know, I don't care about your hunches, give me the facts. Show me where you found that. You know, define it. When, you know, I don't think anybody read a book to have a goose fly south, right? But at the same time, you know, when we're born, loud noises and fall, and we fear that there's something in us that knows to protect us. And I think we kind of build walls around our knowing so we can define, and those things get us tripped up to the back.
And to help us define the mind, Dr. Peter A. James, I know you're dying to join this conversation, so why don't you?
Dr. James.
First of all, Ursula, I don't know if I can ever define the mind. I've tried, and it hasn't worked out at all, so I kind of take a step back and I rely on faith and a whole lot of other things. Leopard, love what you have been, the stories you have been telling us for sure about this sixth sense, about even this Thinking Grow Rich book as a whole. And you and I share a military background, and I'm sure through your walk of life, whether it is a correctional career or the military career, you've seen things, you've witnessed things, you've felt things in your life. I'm a big lover of those two books that you've also identified as well. But, you know, as you reflect on your past, and I appreciate the story again, but as you reflect on it, how has this book, specifically even this Sixth Sense chapter, as you look back on your career, are you able to see more areas where this intuition, where this spirit, where this Sixth Sense has played out in your life? And what might you say, how might you say that our audience can open themselves up to it moving forward?
Thank you. Thank you, Doc, and thank you for your service. I appreciate that. It helped me in so many ways in my life, but as you may know, many times you don't see it going, you see it looking back. You see those places and spaces where it says, oh, wow, that was huge. Becoming a part of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, I think that whole process was, that was intuition and that was knowing. I did that TED Talk that you read about, Ms. Ursula, and based on that talk, I had someone call me, a guy named Jeff Heiser, and he interviewed me. And when he interviewed me, I got another interview by a guy named Steve Copeland. And when Steve talked to me, I mentioned to him that I wanted to do a study of Think and Grow Rich and write a book called Military Edition. And since you brought up military, that's what's leading me here, to the Military Edition. And so when I spoke to Steve about it, he said, I know a guy named Don Green, who is the executive director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And I said, okay, cool. He said, would you like to meet him? I have a 30-minute window that I can talk to him. We just have to go to Wise, Virginia. I live in South Carolina. We're talking about 5.5 hours. So I was thinking about going a 5.5-hour trip to meet a guy for maybe 30 minutes to talk about a dream that I had. And all of the brain told me, nah, it's a waste of your time. You're going to drive 5.5 hours, 11 hours to get 30 minutes to do that. That makes sense. Do it. Yeah, I'm good. I'm down. So we went. Right before, I know Ann's gone to Wise Virginia, so cell phone service stops, right? So about an hour out from Wise, I get a call from Steve who said, hey, Don just called. He has some publishers coming in, and he may be able to see us for about 15 minutes, or he may not be able to see us for about 15 minutes. So what do you want to do? And so my brain said, we'll do this later, turn around. My insight said, yo. I kept going, got there. Not only did I not get 15 minutes, I actually had 3 hours. Don took me to lunch. We started talking. He invited me to come do the certification. Now, either that was infinite intelligence knocking on the stick's skull, or Don Green is a master salesman who actually got me to join the program. But why do I tell you all that? From that process, I've written a book called Pathways to a Positive Mental Attitude. Don Green has asked me to write Everyone Speaks for the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And I've traveled to Sweden. I've traveled to the Caribbean. I've spoken at Napoleon Hill. I've done all these different things by saying yes. And in the mind, my brain should have told me to say no, but something told me to say yes. And that's just a little, just one recent thing that comes up from saying yes Because, again, Wayne Dyer says it all the time. Prayer is us talking to God, intuition is God speaking back to us. Many times we block it and don't listen to what God is saying back to us. And so for me, everybody, you study, study, you are open, and when you ask for it, believe that you're going to receive it.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. Good stuff, good stuff. Thanks. First, back to you.
Okay. So you mentioned Sumter, South Carolina, and you mentioned dreams, and when I hear those two things together, I think of Mary McLeod Bethune. What's your connection to her? And, of course, we make it back to the book in Infinite Intelligence and being almost
a
human. What are
your thoughts about Batman? Well, one amazing. It's amazing. I'm not far from Maysville, so you know something, so you know she talked about all that stuff. But we went to the certification, and we actually had an opportunity to watch the book, Think You Grow Rich Legacy. And in the book, Think You Grow Rich Legacy, they show Mary McLeod Bethune talk about her going to the little schoolhouse. And when we were there, the movie came out. Don gave us an opportunity to get some DVDs. I actually took the DVDs, and I went to Maysville. Ms. Bethune's niece is the mayor of Maysville right now. And so they got a museum there for a lot of great things. I brought her this DVD, and I said, hey, look, I just received this. They just opened the museum. I said, here, I want you to have it. This is an amazing opportunity to support your family. And they gave me an opportunity to go down and show the video to the people of Maysville. And I actually got to teach Mary McLeod Bethune's niece and their community based on my relationship with Napoleon Hill and this opportunity. Again, just saying yes and being open to this opportunity. Don gave me a call right before COVID hit big about going to Miami to work with Dennis Kimbrough to present this movie to this group of folks, 500 people. Now, it was canceled. It was canceled because of COVID. But the reality is being open to the infinite, being open to your sixth sense, saying yes, gives you opportunities that the mind, it can't fathom that. I couldn't fathom that before I started walking out on this day. And one of the things about infinite intelligence, one about intuition, one about the sixth sense, to me, is you got to have faith. You got to have faith to walk it out.
And at this moment, Galen probably has to have faith that I am going to come to you and allow you to join this conversation. So,
I'm over here leaning forward. He's like, let's go.
Man, I tell you, I have so enjoyed this conversation. Like I said, I had to resist wanting to be a navigating host because you and I would be talking one-on-one for 3 hours. You know, one of the things I like about this chapter in particular is I think it's on page 230. It introduces this idea of the invisible council. And I have adopted that concept. I mean, I've got an imaginary board of directors, and everyone's got titles and responsibilities. The chairman of the board, of my board, is Miles Davis, and the vice president of defense is Bruce Lee. And I bring that up.
Well.
He's the vice president of mental defense, Bruce Lee. And so I bring that up, and it's personal to me because this week I lost one of my members of the board who literally passed away, a longtime mentor of mine passed away, I think, 2 days ago. And so I'm mindful of the things that he has physically taught me, but also the thing that he has taught me in the board meetings that we have. And so I wanted to bring that back to you, because I heard you talk about your mother, I heard you talk about mentors in the military. How do you use this idea of sixth sense
Do you have an invisible board of directors or an invisible council? And is that crazy? Is that crazy?
Tell me I'm going crazy. Well, I can't tell you you're going crazy. But it is real. It is real. And, hey, to those who don't have understanding, everything is crazy, right? On my board. Love them or like them, on my board. Right now, what I have live and dead people on my board, Jim Rome, Napoleon Hill, Dr. King, President Obama, my mother, Christ, all of these people, and I don't do it like a lot of people do it. Napoleon Hill talked about it. I study these people, and I get close to them because proximity is power. And so as I study and understand and get to know these folks, then I'm connected to them. And because I feel that I'm connected to them, I start trying to think like they think and walk like they walk. And again, it's those success leaves clues. Tony Robbins said it, but he actually got it from that, right? It's these things. And so when I'm thinking, I'm like, what would the president do? What would Don Green do? What would my mother do? What would Jesus do? What would Gandhi do? What would these people do? And so I study. And because I'm trying to be so connected to them, they are my counsel. I'm not even going to call them an invisible counsel because I actually do a meditation. And in the old days, old people used to say, you know, go into your closet and shut the door. And then be there with those people. And so when you're doing that, when you're studying that, that's your counsel. Counsel is someone you can go with and they will talk to you. And if you listen, they will speak into your life. I love stories. So I'll go back. I remember I spoke at the MLK Day for Sumter. And what I did when I was asked to do that, I got three different books of all of the speeches. And then I'm watching Gloria and Common and doing their thing, and I'm getting into that space where I feel like I'm thinking like, and so I'm connecting with. So proximity, when you can go to that gateway to infinite, I can step in there, and I can be in the presence of. And then when I come out, I'm closer to. I actually feel like I'm actually that person for a little while. Now, that might be real crazy, Edwin, but that's kind of how I do it.
Hey, one other question before I turn this back over to Ursula. You know, I've talked to so many people, and I've read about so many people that do something very similar to what you just described. Why do you think more people don't do that? Why do you think so many people are limited to their own experience, their own knowledge, and they're not tapping into the wisdom? Or said differently, said the way you said it, everyone prays to God, but no one stops to listen. So why do you think that is?
I'm going to disagree with Knapp on one thing. He put ghost of fear at the very end versus putting it before. I think fear criticism, just like you said, faith, am I crazy? We don't want people to think there's something wrong because even Napoleon Hill, he had to make sure to say, look, I know that this is an invisible council. I'm not crazy. He had to say that. He didn't release, not Interview with the Devil. What's the book? What's the book, Ann?
The last one that was written?
No, it was the one about not Interview with the Devil, but Outwitting the Devil.
Outwitting
the Devil. That book was not released until after they died and his wife and sister-in-law died. I think it's one of the ghosts of fear criticism. They don't want to say that because people are going to look at them sideways. I mean, the big joke is It's not wrong if you talk to yourself. It's when you answer yourself, right? So it makes people uncomfortable. But I think that most of us have had that still small voice speak to us, and we listened, and it was effective, and it worked, but we don't tell anybody about it. But I tell you what, if you're, I'm not going to call it loser friend because that sounds hard. If your friend that's not winning calls you with a hunch and you listen to that, that's when I would call you crazy.
Okay. Thank you, Galen, for those questions, because that led to some profound statements. Now, before I go to the person you've seen glimpses of, the master builder, there's a person that's asked a question that I would like to go ahead and ask you. Valencia says, what would you say to your younger self? What advice would you give the young man, the young male in the black body? So what are your thoughts about that?
I would say, do it even though you're afraid. Do it even though you're afraid, because on the other side of fear has been all of my growth. Because now, and there's a difference, I think, between foolhardy and being fearful for something that's real. But I've held myself back as a young man because somebody's going to say something to me. Somebody's going to look at me funny. They're not going to like me. And when I got over myself and just believed that it was going to be okay. I tell you what, Ursula, I could have been much further up the path if I would have heard that voice earlier. Listen to that voice earlier. Mm-hmm. Listen to that voice earlier.
Wow. So one of the things I heard you, and I had to look at the book to make sure I heard what you, I understood what you just did. You're on a first name basis with Napoleon Hill. You call him Nap. That was kind of cool when I realized what you were doing. On that note, there's a person that's a part of this team that when people get to call her by her first name or call her or be in her presence, they feel like they've gotten on a first name basis with greatness, because they have. And whenever I introduce her, I feel like I should have a drum roll. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And introducing the master builder herself, Ann McNeil.
Join what?
Listen. You've answered all my questions already. You know, how did you come in contact with the information, you know, your certification and all of that. But I want to go back to something Galen started saying, and you chimed in, because I think that for those who are in the book, if you go to page 233, I think Galen started on 232. I want to actually read this, because I was in preparation for the program today. This jumped out at me, and it's interesting that both of you said exactly page. But what I'd like to dialogue with you about is this. Initially, you talked about basically modeling the guy that was in the service with the Bible in the book.
John Gunther.
John, but you talked about studying him. I'm going to read this, but what jumped out at me on page 32 and 33 that I missed previously was the fact that Napoleon Hill talked about his counsel. He studied each and every one to impact his character. So when Galen read this, and I'm going to read it for the hearing of our listeners who may or may not have the book, because what
what is amazing about this is what he calls the units of energy, right? So this is a conversation that he's having with Edison. But Edison says, you know, he walks in, he walks over and he seats himself at my left. When Emerson was accustomed to sit and said, he said, you are destined to witness the discovery of the secret of life. I'm having a moment, the secret of life, just gives you a moment, like reading the word, right? You're destined to, and that's what I'm going to share with all of us that's listening. We're each destined to discover the secret of life. When the time comes, you will observe that life consists of great swarms of energy or entities, each as an intelligent as human being. They think themselves to be these units of life are groups. They group together like hives of bees, and they remain together until they disintegrate through lack of harmony. And this is one of the reasons why mastermind groups don't work with it about spirit of harmony. That's another show, okay? The units have differences of opinion, the same as human beings. And also to fight among themselves. These meetings which you are conducting will be very helpful to you. Now, I said that because I want to share that. Because both of you talked about the meeting that you hold. Right? But what you just did, you talked about each one of yours. You talked about studying them. And I want to share that because so often we can talk about, you know, the council, and we talk about it every time we get to the chapter. But seldom do we take a step back in order to reflect on the character of the individual that we like to embody. So my question to you, and I know you're pulling this off my head, if you were to add additional counselors, who would they be and why?
Wow, that's a great question. Every time I study somebody, I end up studying it. It is a stepping off point to something that they have that I need, and that's why I believe that this sixth sense is a clue. I need to go speak to someone because I did the TED talk. I met Jeff Heiser, Steve Coulson, Steve Coulson, Don Green, Don Green to Johnny Lloyd, Johnny Lloyd to Alejandro, to Amanda. Go back to enthusiasm, the God within. I think there's something within us that is propelling us to the thing that we need. And if it propels us to the thing we need, we'll go reach out, and there'll be something on the other side that we need to connect to. So I'm constantly looking and listening and trying to hear what I'm supposed to hear, see what I'm supposed to see. When you were talking about those energy beings that come together who think they're smarter than we are, I see our country like that right now. And if we don't get it together, I see the disruption and breaking up. I like to fight because I think when I wrestle, I mean, You wrestle with it until you understand it. So I think we wrestle with it, we understand it, we take the best parts out, we also look at the things that we're weak at, we do something with. But I think it's important that the conflict is there. But if we don't come together going in the right direction towards the definite major purpose, that's when the disintegration happens. As a medical person, and when I first developed understanding of the talk, I actually started thinking about my body. I started thinking about cancer. I started thinking about getting sick. I started thinking about, okay, where is this energy? All of our cells are coming together, doing what we need to do. But when we start decaying is when we start going this way. But if we start coming together, things get better. And so to me, that's that creative vision, that imagination, that sixth sense that tells me, hey, you need to get this stuff together or you're going to be hurting your body. Doc is like, let it go. But that's what I mean. It's just it's a stepping off point to go to the next level.
Yeah, and the way I see that, as the call to mind also is the definition of purpose, and you talked about that because again we choose the individual spirit, and so that is. You know, and I want to just make sure that our listeners are listening, just go back to the entire first chapter. As you think about who you want as a part of your own council of individuals, thank you. And real quick, before we go there, I'll tell you, sometimes people will come into your life continuously, and I've not wanted them there.
But for some reason, they kept coming. Something was up. And I found that I could have had my blessing much earlier if I were receiving, even the people that I didn't want in my face. There was a reason that they kept coming. So sometimes I got to stop and be like, okay, what?
Even if I just need to get in front of the real life that I'm acting sideways, and I shouldn't, maybe there's an example, but I get more of that than just looking for the stuff that I want in my life. Just the thing that I want, but sometimes people come in there for a reason.
Okay, so there is something that you can remind your audience of, that what happens in the room. Well, I'm going to give you a little off the game because I don't want them to be disappointed. Oh, that's right. So this is such a great conversation. One of the things that I am just mesmerized by is how like-minded we've seen all of the things to be, and I've seen so much of my journey in this conversation, and one of the places that I would encourage everyone to look into is how can you get around like-minded people that are on that same journey that you're on. They may not be thinking the exact same path, but they're trying to get to the same place. And one of the places that we're thinking about is the annual meeting that we have in the first week in January in Boca Raton, is absolutely a place where you can meet with like-minded people. Give an account of what you've done for the past year. And then help them understand the best path to achieve what you'd like to achieve over the next year. And I'm going to tell you, it's an area of vulnerability, but if you have the courage to step into that space of vulnerability, this will absolutely change the trajectory of your life. You're going to develop friendships, you're going to develop accountability, but the clarity of which you see your life unfolding is going to be absolutely life-changing. So I'm going to tell you, I've already got my tickets. I've already got my registration. I've been registered for 5 or 6 months now. About a week and a half ago, I bought my plane tickets. So I'm actually going to be in the place. The committee has already committed that we're going to be following all safety precautions that's necessary at this time we're living in. But there's nothing like getting around like-minded people that are on the same path. Some may be ahead of you on the path. some may be a couple steps behind you on that path, and they may be looking at you to kind of bring them along. But it's as I said to our guest earlier, sometimes it's just comforting to know that you're not going crazy. And not only are you not going crazy, you're actually kind of behind as it pertains to pursuing your goals. So that's your thing in this meeting. I absolutely double-dog dare you to register, to plan on being
there, recording has
and
stopped.
Let this group breathe into your life. So back to you, Arizona.
Now, before I would like to add, the date is January 8th, 9th. So
The second area is what we know we don't know. The last area is what we don't know we don't know. And I left the group with a question for them to answer. My question was, how do you access what you don't know you don't know? And today's conversation Leopard gave you clues to that. It's by tapping into the sixth sense. And if you poo-poo it as something crazy, if you don't follow the hundreds of inspirations that you get from an area, then you are minimizing your access to answering some of the questions that you have about life, some of the things that you want to do. This has been amazing, and I'm going to put on air right now that I've got a brand new podcast called With Your Data Leadership, and Leopard Fate is going to be a guest. I'm speaking that into the universe right now because this conversation is only half had at this point. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to you. Incredible show. I enjoyed it. And look forward to more.
Thank you,
Caleb.
And to
Thank you.
And what they see in themselves, they don't like. And then so my primary mission right now is to help those young people to the greatest within them. So whether you do it with me or you do it on your own, find a young person and tell them their love and that they're worthy and that there is stuff out there for them. And because I studied to show myself approved, in this particular principle, the best place that I learned to understand this principle is in the book called Think and Grow Rich for Women by Sharon Lecter. I said earlier that I think women have it on us when it comes to intuition and the sixth sense. Read that book. It is the best way to understand this principle as well as going through the process. So that's all I got. Thank you so much for having me here. I've been blessed to be in your presence today.
And you have blessed us and our listeners because they have talked about what they're planning to do, what they have done, and how they're connecting with the Word. And you say that you know things, but we've heard music in your Word this morning. So thank you very much for every last one of them. And for our listening audience, thank you. We're so glad that you joined us because you made it what it is today. And we do it for you because it's for ourselves. So come back. Join us next week. Have a great week.
Goodbye.